This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com and be sure to use discount code 17NERDSDIS. That's 17NERDSDIS to save 10%. TouringPlans.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 180 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, I think we're going to hit some quick news. There's a lot of different things going on in the parks, and we're going to pick a couple of those items and just kind of talk about them real quick, see how they affect us, and just move on. After that, we're going to have a nice ride audio. I'm not going to tell you what it is now, so you can kind of have a chance to guess what it is as you begin to listen to it, just like our other hosts. And speaking of the other hosts, we have Charlotte with us this week. Hey, Charlotte, how's it going?
It's going great, Ed. So glad to be on with you. It's been a while since we've been on together.
Yeah, I know. Nice to hear your voice. Also this week, we have Sam with us. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
Hey, glad to be back. Ready to go on a ride.
Hey, Sam.
Yeah, I know, definitely. It's getting to the point between trips now where that's all I'm living on are YouTube rides and audio, so I'm looking forward to it. Before we get to the show tonight, I just wanted to reach out to all our listeners, and just a real quick thanks. I don't think we do it enough, but without our listeners, we really couldn't do a show. And the past couple weeks, we've run a couple contests, and we've had a lot of people contacting the show with different emails and such, and it just made me kind of think about how we've reached 180 shows, and in all that time, all the different people we've had chances to meet. So I wanted to reach out and say thank you to everybody that's been listening, and hopefully you continue listening. And definitely reach out to the show. Let us know what we could be doing better. Let us know what episodes you liked, and maybe you could tell us some of the episodes you want us to create, and we'll move on for the future that way. Okay, so this week's show is going to be quick news, and to be honest with you, I've got a really good one, but I think we got to wait a little bit. So who wants to go first?
I'll jump in and go first because I'm pretty excited about this new shop that has opened at Disney Springs. It is called the Dress Shop at Cherry Tree Lane, and this is a dress shop that is not, you will not find this kind of, these clothes anywhere else in the world. And I don't mean just Disney World. I mean the entire world. They are couture type dresses, but they are themed to attractions or characters that we all know and love. There is a Haunted Mansion dress and accessories to go with it. There is Tower of Terror dress. But the one that I love the most is a toss-up between the Enchanted Tiki Room dress and Orange Bird. These are, if you've ever seen Dapper Day, if you know what Dapper Day is, where everybody dresses up to the nines and goes to Walt Disney World or to Disneyland. They do it twice a year in the spring and the fall. Both East Coast and West Coast has their own Dapper Day. And people come all dressed up. They're wearing a lot of vintage clothes and things like that. And this dress shop fits Dapper Day perfectly. It is just, I want every single one of them. This is like one of these kind of dress shops that make grown women squeal. It is wonderfully nerdy and so well done. And I'm going to really go broke in there.
Now, where's this located again?
It is in Disney Springs. And unfortunately, I don't know exactly where it is.
It is inside the co-op.
Oh, thank you very much, Sam. It's inside the co-op. So, yeah, that's easy to find. We all know where the co-op is.
So now this is another one of those kind of niche stores that I got to wonder, well, you answer my question, who goes to these stores? Because getting to Disney Springs at one point during a vacation was tough enough. Walking around, spending hours and hours actually shopping these stores, I can't imagine doing that soon.
I know. It is. It's hard to get down there, but the people are making their way to this dress shop. Women, ladies are getting there. There are already certain styles that they are selling out of and might not get anymore. And one great thing about this is they're all original pieces. And they, when they're gone, and they'll bring in a new style and a new design. So it's almost like having a limited art dress, which is really cool. And it is one of the hottest places right now in Disney Springs, especially for the women. Maybe not so much for the men, but definitely for the women.
So if it's in the co-op, it's got to be pretty close to that 28th and Main collection, which is the men's T-shirts that are really cool, and they're based on all the attractions, and there's a Nautilus submarine, and there's some for the Jungle Cruise and Tomorrowland, and that's the stuff that gets me a little nerdy when it comes to clothes. So I can see how this sort of hits that other niche and provides the same type of thing for women. I get it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you can dress like Minnie Mouse, or there is a dress that looks similar to Belle's blue dress, but hidden in the bottom of the dress, you see little pictures of books and things like that. Everything is just so well done, and it really is like a total nerdgasm. It's fantastic.
There's an interesting looking bellhop from the Tower of Terror that I think is kind of cool. And if they made a tie in the pattern of that Orange Bird dress, I would probably have the tie. I'm just saying.
Oh, there we go. See? It fits. And how stylish would you and your wife look, where her wearing the Orange Bird dress and you sporting that tie?
Yeah, exactly.
I see the idea of the tie, though. I would do that big time. I would love to have a Haunted Mansion themed tie, perhaps, or something like that. That'd be great.
Maybe Disney, listen up. You're hearing these guys. They want some stuff to match and coordinate with the women's dresses. You've got a market right there.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And I tell you what, I'm glad you mentioned that real quick. Before we move on to the next news topic, one of the things I wanted to mention was somewhat of a small news story resurfaced this week, or actually came up for the first time as far as I knew, was that there might be a new type of Disney Uber-type service they're going to be offering soon. Now, we know they started that whole extra express bus service from park to park and things like that a couple months ago, 6 months at least, probably. But now they're talking about doing something similar to Uber so you can get between resorts or from parks to resorts, things like that, more direct routes, which I just wanted to point out, and kudos to Lisa, because when we did our See It, Fix It show, probably like 2-3 shows ago, Lisa came up with that idea. She came up with the idea of there's got to be a way to get back to your resort from somewhere in Walt Disney World that isn't a park later at night, because there's so many good bars and lounges and things to do at other resorts. And we kind of fleshed out that idea a little bit, where we basically came up to, well, Disney should have its own fleet of vans doing some type of Uber service. Looks like it might be coming now.
There we go.
So, the ears are open.
The ears are opened, and they also hope that your wallet is open, because I'm sure that won't be a complimentary service. So time will tell if it catches on or not, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And unless they ban Uber from property, it would be competition-based. So I would imagine it should be relatively the same.
You would think so. Close. You would think.
But we'll see. If it even happens, that's the other side of it. We'll see.
I do hope that they don't ban Uber completely, though, because people want to get off property to go to the dark side and other places throughout Orlando.
People want to, but Disney doesn't necessarily want you to. They want you to get on Magical Express and come in and spend your 7 days and get back on Magical Express and leave. I mean, that's the whole idea.
And can you imagine getting on Disney Uber and they end up doing like a big loop that brings you right back to the park each time and you never get out of there?
All right, I got some news that we will undoubtedly cover in more detail in the next few weeks because we have some people planted there, and that's Star Wars Celebration, which is happening right now. And if you're not aware, you go to youtube.com/Star Wars. And if you can get there before the show's over on April the 16th, you can watch live, which is absolutely amazing, see some of the things that they have recently announced, some of those being a new animated series that's coming called The Forces of Destiny, which is going to focus on some of the short stories that shaped some of Disney's characters. And what I find interesting here is Rey, it's Sabine, it's Jaylen Erso from Rogue One. Absolutely incredible, some of the things that they're going to tie in there, and I love that. But to tie it back to the parks, which started just a few days ago over at Launch Bay, you can now talk to and get your picture taken with BB-8.
Very cool.
That is cool. Now, I tell you what, real quick, let me just break in here. We've been watching our favorite photographer at the parks, and it seems like our cast members that are working with BB-8 are actually learning BB-8's language. It must be a way that they can communicate with him and be able to pass back and forth messages to the guests getting their pictures taken. I'm really interested to find out how, like, complete that is.
It's another step in the Living Character Initiative, which I am very interested in and have done some things recently regarding. So I think that's kind of cool.
That's very cool.
Well, at least we got another good guy over there to meet.
You're right.
Right.
With Chewie, it looks like, based on the photographs, that he is in the area that was the chase members line for Vader and Kylo Ren, but I'm not exactly sure. But it's in Launch Bay, any way you look at it. Can't wait to see it.
Gotcha. Now, I did see something, and I'm not sure if it was an actual, like, test picture area or they were just setting it up, but it looked like he was on a podium or,
yes.
Or he wasn't on the ground.
He's absolutely elevated. Cool. And now that I see this picture again, I'm going to take back what I just said. This appears to be in the area that was the Disney Infinity location inside of Launch Bay. So remember where they had all of those Infinity the video games for kids to play. Looks like it's
the other side of the cantina.
Yeah, the other side of the cantina, exactly.
Gotcha. Very cool. Something else. Now, every time I go down there, Launch Bay just keeps improving and changing, and I think that's pretty cool. That's going to definitely be part of that whole area, staying there and keeping up to date, especially once Star Wars Land opens up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that you're going to see some big changes here in the fall with promos for Last Jedi, which will obviously be part of that. So that is definitely something that's evolving. I'm not sold on how long it stays after Star Wars Land opens, though, or the Star Wars experience. I think its days might be numbered once Star Wars comes to the other side of the park. But we'll see.
Oh, that's a good point. And they can use that for any number of things, especially since that whole courtyard is really kind of geared toward the younger kids.
Yeah, they should do something with Mushu, animation related.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. But it would be nice to go back to animation. Good point. I like that.
That'd be great.
Okay. So the quick news story I have was really nice. It caught my eye right away because this is something I absolutely love. It's related to food, so I'm going to really enjoy this. And actually, I can't wait to get back down to the parks for one of these specifically. It so happens that on April 16th, it is National Eggs Benedict Day. So nationally across the country, that's right. Eggs Benedict Day, April 16th. And I haven't figured out if it's just the third Sunday of the month or it's always April 16th or something like that, but it coincides with Easter this year. So it's a little odd. But they are celebrating it this year, and it's awesome in that I was going through the different Disney Parks blog articles, and this one got me. And the number of different types of Eggs Benedict at the parks was pretty amazing. And I'm going to just read through a couple of these because they're all on my list, except for one. I'm not a big crab fan. But other than that, these sound amazing. So now, they've got them at a couple different restaurants. Some you might have been to, some not. Definitely worth the trip. The first one, though, is the Crab Cake Egg Benedict. So you can almost imagine where that's going. Over at Olivier's Cafe at the Old Key West Resort.
Mm.
And basically, same old poached egg. And the twist is crab cakes with key lime hollandaise sauce served on the English muffin.
That sounds
I don't like crab, But the key lime hollandaise sauce, that sounds incredible way to twist that.
My mouth just tingled a little bit when you said that.
Right?
Didn't it? Actually feel the tingle of the key lime. That sounds very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Now, they have crab cakes also over at the Geyser Point Bar and Grill over the Disney Wilderness Lodge. These are a little different, and then they use spinach with the hollandaise sauce on it, and the crab cakes, of course, too. Nice big old crab cakes instead of the English muffins. So that's kind of good for those crab cake lovers out there, and that looks really good.
It does look good. That one I would go for. And by the way, I was just able to discover that April 16th is Eggs Benedict Day every year.
Okay.
How about
that?
There we go.
Get it on the calendar. So now, the next one doesn't surprise me at all. We did the Grand Floridian for our honeymoon way back when, Leslie and I. And we ate in our Coosies a couple different times because that was also the first year they had the Disney Dining Plan. So we were eating a lot for very little at the time. And we ate lobster a couple times there, and they have a lobster eggs Benedict. So during their brunch, they have Maine lobster butter poached with country ham and soft poached eggs with citrus hollandaise sauce. So another twist on the hollandaise. And that sounds incredible. So now, once you got done with the lobster, you can move over to a little bit more rustic. Trail's End actually has their own Eggs Benedict over at Fort Wilderness, and this one is the exact version you would expect it to be because it's topped with pulled pork. Mm-hmm. So they've got all the other fixings of the hollandaise and the egg and ham and stuff like that, but you got the pulled pork to kind of just like smoke it out a little bit. And the last one they offered is over the Captain's Grill at the Yacht Club. This one is actually more of the most traditional that they have offered at the parks, which is pretty cool because it's straight out Serrano ham, hollandaise sauce, and the poached eggs. The Captain's Grill, it's probably a couple bucks more than you normally would have, but other than that, looking good. And I want to point out, the Bloody Mary in the picture here has a shrimp in it, and it looks like it has a piece of prosciutto also.
At the Captain's Grill, I would not doubt that.
That's my kind of Bloody Mary.
Pretty incredible. Now, they do mention that Disneyland Resort also has the Eggs Benedict, and they're celebrating April 16th also at the Steakhouse 55 and a Disneyland Hotel. And those items are pretty much straightforward, although the Disneyland Hotel has the Serrano ham with poached eggs and steamed asparagus with blood orange hollandaise on a homemeal cornmeal biscuits. And that one stands out big time. That sounds really tasty. The other two are basically, you know, the basic. No, I take that back. The other sampling they have was a smoked salmon with poached eggs, caviar, and hollandaise on an English muffin. So now, I wouldn't go near that, but for my seafood-loving friends, that sounds like it'd be really good.
Yeah, that sounds really good. And the only thing that I don't like, the whole thing about Eggs Benedict is soft eggs. So everything else sounds really delicious on there.
And the best part about Disney is you could order that smoked salmon one and just say, you know what, hold the eggs.
Hold the eggs. I'll take everything else. Hold the eggs. That sounds great.
So anyway, something to look forward to. Anybody down in the parks in a couple of days, enjoy. It's going to be good.
And make sure if you're down in the parks the next couple of days that you hit the last few days of the Easter egg hunt at Epcot, because that'll be over soon.
Oh, that's cool. Now, they're doing it like an all-over scavenger hunt thing right now. Am I correct about that?
It's the where you find the eggs in World Showcase at Epcot.
Right.
And they've been doing it for the past few years, and they hide giant eggs throughout World Showcase, and you take a map, and you put the stickers in correlation. Honestly, you don't have to really do that if you didn't want to. They'll still give you your prize, even if you don't complete the map. But the whole purpose is to find them, so you would want to do it. Yes, definitely.
That was expanded for the entire length of Flower and Garden this year, so that used to be just Easter weekend. We were able to partake in that when we were down, and it was pretty cool because my kids got to do it.
Very nice.
Cool. Very nice.
Oh, very good that it's there.
And it's really cool how they finally expanded on something like that. When I was down for Easter, the way they did it is they had an area over, you know, past, if you're walking over to Mission Space, and you have that whole courtyard where Mission Space in front of you, Ellen to your left, to your right is Test Track. Well, in that area, they had part of it roped off, and a display set up kind of on the grass a little bit by the corner there where they had basically kids in there to pick up eggs off the ground.
No.
It wasn't really that intense, and but it was Easter egg hunt, mm-hmm. so nice to see how it's improved a lot.
Definitely.
Yeah, they call it the egg extravaganza, no longer the Easter egg extravaganza.
Right.
Yeah, they did the same thing with the Ratatouille doing Food and Wine.
You got it. It's basically the same thing, but it's the spring version of it.
Right, right.
Nice. Always something fun to do when you're walking around with the kids. They need a little extra incentive for World Showcase.
So to jump on that just a little bit more, at Food and Wine, or I'm sorry, Flower and Garden Festival for 2017, it's the first time I ever noticed that the KidCot locations were themed to be garden spots. And they were completely different in activities.
Oh, very cool.
So, you know, the Duffy and the Perry sort of color the thing on a stick and the kids carry them around. It was now take your book or your passport and get stamps regarding the vegetables that were growing in the different countries. And it was a lot different. It was very intriguing. And it was definitely cool to see something different around World Showcase for Flower and Garden.
I want to play that.
Well, all those games are fun. I wonder if they got rid of that when Duffy kind of got pulled from the parks.
Mm.
And it was kind of like part of that whole same thing where let's just start doing all that. And it's a great idea. I hope they can switch it up with the different festivals.
My first thought was, okay, what's going to happen when Flower and Garden's over? Because these were garden spots and they seemed to fit in with the Flower and Garden theme. So we'll see what happens when that's over, if the old stuff comes back or if they were still sponsored by Sharpie, and you still had the Sharpies to color in the little passbooks. So that didn't change, but it was just a different take on it, which was cool.
Very cool. I have one small thing about news that I want to add. There was a contest very similar to how we at Nerds do our March Madness. Disney Parks had their own March Madness of a type. It was called March Magic, and they were going with the ultimate Disney attraction. And I am very happy to say that the Tomorrowland Movers, or the People Mover, as we affectionately know it, won as the ultimate Disney attraction for 2017. And I am just thrilled because that means it won't go anywhere anytime soon.
That's kind of an odd one. I'm trying to think about that. Was there any parameters?
Nah, it's completely fixed and nobody voted on it. It's Disney.
No, they were all kinds of votes on the on the Walt Disney World Facebook page, and it was People Mover was actually going up against Haunted Mansion. Those were the championship matchup, and Tomorrowland won. So I think that's pretty cool.
That's a lot of Haunted Mansion.
A lot of write-ins.
That was.
That's a lot of write-in votes.
I won't say that was
very cool,
but.
Just that's awesome.
Voted 100 times a day.
And over all the different age groups, that is a guaranteed everybody likes that ride, so.
Very true. You can get everybody in the family on that ride and don't have anybody complaining or crying.
Right.
So.
And still the only ride in Walt Disney World, unless it's really, really crowded, all you have to do is say, hey, can I go again? And they let you stay in your seat.
Absolutely. So, yay for that one.
Nice. Well, thanks for that. Okay, guys. Well, that's it for the news. Before we go and let you enjoy your ride, which we're all going to also, I want to give a special thanks out to Kevin John, the celebrity artist, who was nice enough to come on our show last week with Jimmy and Charlotte to give us a great, great interview. When I edited that, I listened to it, and Kevin John had a lot of great things to say, really inspirational, and I'm really, really looking forward to getting back down to the parks and checking out some of that artwork.
Yes, definitely. Thanks to Kevin John. I so enjoyed that interview. It will definitely go down as one of my favorites. He is a great guy, and I'm thrilled to know that I fell in love with artwork that's his. So that's pretty cool. It was definitely a nerdy moment when I realized the Figment picture that I have is and that I need to post for the Disney Nerds page was the artwork that he had done. That was kind of an aha moment. And so, yes, definitely thank you, Kevin John.
Okay, well, so now what we're going to do is we're going to let you listen to a ride-through. Basically, it's something at the parks that we've all been on, but we really miss. So here we go.
Thank you. fancy a swim with Davy Jones?
I hope you enjoyed that ride on Pirates. I know I always do. I love that ride. That's it for show number 180. Thanks for listening, guys. We really appreciate it. For Sam, Charlotte, this is Ed, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Rest in peace.